Revenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. It's now.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take complex information, often loads of it, and try to make it clear, give you the core insights without all the noise.
Think of it as getting straight to the point on stuff that matters.
Exactly. And today's analysis, it comes from the Cyber Intelligence Bureau. They're a division within the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
Right. And their method is quite comprehensive. They combine OSINT, that's open source intelligence, stuff available publicly, with human intelligence research.
So not just the technical bits.
Not at all. They're looking at the context, the information itself, but also the emotional drivers, cognitive aspects, even the geopolitical undertones influencing cyber threats. It's a holistic view.
Okay, interesting. And the focus today is a group called Al-Ahad.
That's right, Al-Ahad. They're described as an emerging hacktivist group. And it's important we stress this. We're looking at this strictly from a cyber analysis perspective, staying neutral on the politics involved.
Understood. So what do we know about them? When did they appear?
Well, the report suggests they became active, or at least publicly noticeable, around late 2024. The first mention seemed to be September 2024.
Oh.
Initially, they were using both Telegram and Signal, but then apparently shifted to prioritizing Signal for their communications.
Any reason why? Signal's more encrypted, right?
That's usually the assumption, yeah.
Yeah.
Better operational security, perhaps. Then by December 2024, they'd reportedly formed alliances with groups like Anonymous Guys and DXPLIIT.
Alliances, and they aligned with someone called the Holy League.
Yes, the Holy League. It's essentially a coalition of hacktivist groups, generally known for targeting Western interests and NATO countries.
Okay, so a broader network.
Definitely. There's also verified collaboration with no-name 057, specifically on anti-Israel operations. And it looks like they probably coordinate with the pro-Palestine hackers movement, the PPHM, likely to boost the media impact of their attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even evidence pointing towards partnerships with CyberVolk and Killnet. That suggests hybrid operations.
Hybrid, you mean mixing things up?
Exactly. Combining cyber attacks, like DDoS or defacements, with disinformation campaigns, hitting systems and narratives.
Right. And where are they based? Do we know?
The intelligence suggests, based on a moderately reliable source, that they might be an Iraqi entity. So operating within that complex Middle East geopolitical context.
Okay. So our mission today is to unpack Al-Ahad, their motivations, their methods, and specifically these influence vectors and intellectual manipulations the Bureau talks about.
Precisely. How do they try to shape perceptions and leverage emotions alongside their technical attacks? That's what we need to get a handle on.
All right, let's dive into those influence vectors then. What's the first major one?
The first one highlighted is anger. It's, well, quite potent. They tap directly into the strong emotions surrounding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
How do they do that?
By using narratives, stories of perceived oppression. This helps them rally support, makes their actions seem legitimate to followers, and attracts people who already feel that anger or share those political frustrations.
So they're leveraging existing feelings. Makes sense.
What else?
Fear. That's another big one.
Yeah.
They've been known to issue public threats, sometimes even directed at political leaders.
To actually carry them out.
Not necessarily always about the direct follow-through in those specific cases. It's often more about the psychological impact. Spreading fear, creating unease, trying to intimidate individuals or communities. It's psychological pressure.
Okay, anger and fear. What about the bigger picture, their place in the world?
That brings us to geopolitical conflicts. They consistently frame everything they do within this larger context. They're explicitly pro-Palestinian, opposing Israel and its perceived supporters.
So their hacking isn't random, it has a stated purpose.
Exactly. The ideological messaging is key. It helps mobilize supporters, recruit affiliates by appealing to, you know, shared religious or political beliefs. They present their cyber actions as part of a larger fight.
Right. Gives it justification in their eyes. Is there more?
Yes. There's also guilt. The analysis mentions guilt-tripping campaigns.
Guilt-tripping. How does that work in hacktivism?
They directly accuse targets, could be companies, governments, individuals, of being complicit in these conflicts. They use really emotionally charged messages, like appeals for justice for Palestine, trying to make the target feel responsible or ashamed.
Trying to pressure them indirectly through public opinion or internal dissent.
It seems like it. To mobilize their own supporters, gain media attention, and maybe influence the target's actions.
Okay, that's quite manipulative. What's the last vector?
leveraging alliances. We touched on this earlier. Their partnerships with other hacktivist groups are crucial. It's not just about numbers. It's about sharing techniques, getting logistical help, maybe even sharing attack infrastructure.
So the alliances make them stronger, more capable.
Significantly. It boosts their collective ability to launch bigger cross-border attacks and increases the overall pressure they can exert. They're part of an ecosystem.
Right, not just lone wolves. Now, the Bureau also mentioned emotional intelligence and intellectual manipulations. How do these relate to the vectors?
Think of the vectors. Anger, fear, guilt as the channels they use. The emotional intelligence and intellectual manipulations are the specific tactics they employ within those channels.
Ah, okay. Give me an example.
Well, take those guilt-tripping campaigns. That's a direct application of emotional intelligence, understanding what makes people feel guilty or responsible, and exploiting that. Using those specific appeals for justice isn't just rhetoric. It's calculated to hit an emotional nerve and mobilize people.
So it's about knowing which buttons to push.
Pretty much. And then there's psychological blackmail, those public threats against leaders we mentioned. That's a tactic designed to generate fear and apply pressure. It's a specific manipulation technique.
Okay, that covers the emotional side. What about the intellectual manipulations?
That relates more to their strategic and technical thinking. Cognitive intelligence comes in when they identify and exploit technical vulnerabilities.
Like finding flaws in software.
Exactly. Finding a weakness in WordPress or SCADA systems, for instance.
Yeah.
That requires analysis and understanding of how systems work. They also analyze target systems to figure out the most effective way to attack that strategic thinking and intellectual process.
So skill and planning, not just brute force.
Right. And they demonstrate adaptability too, which the Bureau calls SWIPCH tactics.
Switch tactics.
Yeah, like rapidly changing communication platforms, moving from Telegram to Signal, as we discussed. That's likely a conscious move to evade detection, maintain operational security. It shows they're thinking about counter-surveillance.
Staying agile. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And underpinning all this is their use of ideological justification narratives. They consistently frame their actions as defending pro-Palestinian or anti-imperialist causes. This narrative legitimizes their cyber attacks, at least to their audience, positioning them against oppressive entities.
So the story they tell is as important as the hack itself.
It's crucial for recruitment and maintaining morale. And finally, they actively exploit emotional connections to conflicts. Messages appealing to anger or injustice about the Israeli-Palestinian situation are powerful recruitment tools. They tap into existing strong feelings.
It really is a multi-layered strategy, then. Technical skill mixed with deep psychological and ideological elements.
Absolutely. It's why understanding these influence vectors and manipulation techniques is so vital for analyzing threats like Al-Ahad. It's not just about firewalls and malware.
Okay, quickly then, who are they mainly targeting? And what are the potential future threats?
Primarily, the targets mentioned are Israel and Australia, focusing on government, education, and financial sectors. But there's also concern about potential attacks on critical infrastructure. Think energy, transportation. Targets can shift, of course, depending on geopolitics and their collaborations.
And the hypotheses about their future actions.
The analysis lays out a few scenarios. The most likely one involves strategic targeting, aligned with pro-Russian agendas, hitting European nations that support Ukraine or oppose Russia, aiming to destabilize NATO, maybe attacking critical infrastructure in Europe.
Wow, okay. What else?
There's a hybrid attack methods hypothesis. This suggests more coordinated operations with allies like Killnet, maybe combining DDoS attacks on EU portals with simultaneous disinformation campaigns.
Disrupting services and spreading false narratives at the same time.
Exactly. Then there's the systemic and psychological impact idea. This focuses on undermining public trust, perhaps through attacks on healthcare or transport, or leaking sensitive data like voter records to fuel conspiracy theories and societal division.
That sounds quite destabilizing. Is there a most dangerous scenario?
Yes, the analysis outlines what it calls the most dangerous hypothesis. This combines elements. The target hypothesis within this is focused squarely on critical national infrastructure, energy grids, transportation networks, aiming for maximum chaos.
Going for maximum disruption.
Mm-hmm. The methods hypothesis suggests hybrid cyber-physical sabotage. Think combining ransomware attacks on industrial control systems with actual physical disruption, potentially collaborating with sophisticated groups like Killnet or maybe remnants of Conti, using advanced malware like in Destroyer 2. They might coordinate decentrally using highly encrypted platforms like Session.
Cyber attacks causing real-world physical consequences.
That's the fear. And the impact hypothesis linked to this, societal fracturing and panic. paralyzing hospitals, causing shortages, halting transit, leading potentially to casualties, public unrest, and long-term damage to, say, EU unity or national stability.
That's quite sobering. A lot to consider there.
It really is. It highlights the evolving nature of these threats.
This has been incredibly insightful. We've really unpacked Alahad's approach, not just the technical hacks, but this complex web of emotional, cognitive, and geopolitical influence they weave.
Understanding these layers, these manipulations, is clearly becoming essential in grasping the modern cyber threat landscape.
Absolutely. It leaves you with a pretty challenging thought, doesn't it? When hacktivist groups like Alahad aren't just exploiting code, but actively weaponizing deep-seated human emotions and ideological divides, how does that change the way you need to think about cybersecurity and maybe even societal resilience itself? Something to ponder.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.